Last perek, Malachim Aleph. Perek Chafet, long perek, red, so beautiful. Okay, what questions or comments do we have?
Any question I thought about was reading.
Yeah,
you forgot. It was so long.
But so there are a bunch of false prophets saying you should go to war because you're doing well. But then Michiah says that Hashem wanted them to do that. So they were prophets or they weren't prophets? That's, I mean, they were just saying what they wanted to.
We'll have to deal with that. Good.
Why?
Why did what?
Why did he care about the one prophet when there were lots of other prophets?
Yeah, go by the rove, right?
He also gave him a good prophecy. He's like, no, tell me the truth. And he's like, okay, fine. I'll tell him right, whatever
how
the prophecy
did, how
means.
Did he even know that he was lying?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he said, tell me the truth. Okay, what else?
Also, I don't know what did he say. That.
What?
What is Michio's first prophecy?
He says, oh, it's all going to be good, right?
No. I'm saying, I've seen all of Israel scattered to the second one.
Oh, what does it mean? The second one. So what do you think it means? Said that they're like sheep without a shepherd. The king's going to be killed. Yeah. Why they're saying, you know.
Why did he disguise himself?
Why did he?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll deal with that.
Why does it say the king of Israel's name?
Well, it does afterwards.
King of Israel.
In the beginning, just the king of Israel. It says Amstel later on.
Oh.
No, in the beginning, but then afterwards it says, who's the king of Israel? Oh, that's what we said before. Why it started us, I think it's like there's an official request. The king of Israel made a request to the king of Judah, could we join? Not just, hey, you know.
They were at peace?
At this point, it certainly seems that way. Okay. Although, our question we have to deal with is, Yehoshaphat is described as being a tzaddik. Achav, we already discussed, like one of the biggest Rishayim ever. Why would Yehoshaphat join?
What are they trying to get? They're trying to get remote Gilad? What's remote Gilad? Why are they?
We have discussed that. All right, good question. Yeah.
Where? Didn't you tell us that Ben-Hadad ended up killing?
Yeah. Hassan? Right. And that's this parak.
Yeah, but does it say his name? I don't think it says his name. His name.
If it's a man, of honor.
Does it say it's Ben-Hadad? The king of Aram. I mean, we know that Ben-Hadad, we were introduced, is the king of Aram. Right? Who has 32...
The king of Aram, okay.
Right? Who has 32 sub-kings.
Why doesn't
kings.
It say his name either?
Yeah, where's the name?
Again, the idea is that it's a war. It's not a personal vendetta. It's a war between Aram and Yisrael.
The titles.
He died also. It says...
he dies in his chariot.
Yeah, and it says the driver inside the chariot, the foolish Samaria, the dogs of the king's blood, and the heart of
like
the
nubby before, like saying that's what's going to happen to him. Right, last parak, right. Okay, let's see. So, first question is, how did Yehoshaphat realize there was a problem with Nevuah? I mean, like, Yehoshaphat's a tzaddik, right? And the king says, will you join me? He says, I am there with you. Right, your people are my people, your armies are your armies, my horses are your horses, you know. I am here. And he goes, but, you know, let's just ask a Shiloh first. Yehoshaphat's from. You know, he doesn't want to just go with asking a Shiloh, so let's get a Shiloh. 400 Nevi'im all say, good to go. But he needs 401? Sort of weird. Like, what's his hang-up? If, you know, I don't get it. Why is 400 different than 401? He asked the Shiloh. 400 people all said it's good. So...
Did he know they were fake? They were false prophets? I mean, then... Great, 400 people say go to war. That doesn't mean anything.
Okay. So, this obviously is problematic. So, the Gemara has an idea. It's a famous idea. Gemara Sanhedrin, Daf Pei Tet. Ein shnei nevi'im mitnavim b'signon echad. The nevi'im, they would get a vision. But everyone interpreted it was slightly different. And everyone would say what they saw in a slightly different way. But 400 people came in and said word for word the exact same thing. And that already aroused the suspicion that, okay, clearly there is a conspiracy going on here, where they all decided to come with the same story. All right? It'd be like you have two witnesses that said the exact same story, right? We've seen enough cop shows, right? Oh, they rehearsed their testimony because it's word for word what, you know, the other guys. So then already, come on, no one talks like that. 400 people all said the exact same thing. So the Gemara says, rather, it's like Divrei Torah, when the hammer hits the anvil, you have all the sparks flying out, Shimon Panam the Torah. And there's different styles, and that's why when Sitkiyahu, Ben Knaana, who's like the protagonist, the one that's like angry with Michael, gets upset that, you know, you're calling me a false prophet. He smacks him in the face, right? He goes, oh, I guess the spirit made me do this too, you know? Maybe make me smack you also, right? So he now realizes what's going on, so he tries to change it. He puts on horns. And he says, oh, like, in other words, I'm going to do it in a slightly different way. He goes, oh, you're going to gore them the way an ox gores, you know? So, because he saw the deficiency with the former prophecy.
My problem with that is, why did he go and tell 400 to Pandig or any someone else? Because, you know what I'm saying? Like, if 200, like, once they get to like 100 people saying the same thing, clearly everyone is lying. Why are they going for more?
Well, look, who are these 400 Nevi'im? One interpretation is these were the 400 Nevi'ei Asherah that Izebel never let go to the battle at Har Carmel. Right? We knew there were 450 Nevi'ei Baal, 400 Nevi'ei Asherah, and he, Eliyahu, and Har Carmel took on the Nevi'ei Baal, and Izebel, you know, didn't want to let them go. So they were like the royal advisors, and these were them. Okay, that is one interpretation. Or it seems, I don't think that's like the push-up shot, these were real Nevi'im. It seems that Sidkiyahu ben Chanana was offended by what Michiyahu had to say. All right? He says, why are you calling me a false prophet? I've been doing this since before you were born. You know, like how dare you accuse me? If it was really the Nevi'ei Asherah, I don't know if he would have been so offended by his accusation. So I think the push-up shot is, these were real Nevi'im, and what does Michiyahu say? God had false prophecy put in their minds so that they would mess up Achav. And this is what that's what it sounds like to me. Now, so let's look at Pasuk Ted Zion. Let's see. When Michiel was picked up, he was picked up to be brought to the palace, and he's already given instructions. What were the instructions? Listen, 400 guys went before you. They all said that battle's going to be a cakewalk, and we're expecting the same from you. You know, but no pressure, right? Go ahead and speak your mind, but I'm just telling you what your mind should say. So he comes in and says exactly that, and he repeats, Vayomer lev tedvav, I'm sorry, go to Yedalad, Vayomer Michael, Chai Hashem, Ki et asher yomar Hashem elei oto daber. Vayavol lemelech, Vayomer hamelech, Eilam Michael, Enei lech, Oromot kelav, Milchamam nechtal, And the king says, no, tell me really. So, what does it mean, tell me really?
It says in the bottom that he was like making fun of
the... So, it must be, because in the pasuk it just sounds good, that we don't have, you know, the tone, but clearly he was mocking. Clearly he was mocking him. Clearly he was saying, yes, go. Follow what they said. It's all going to be good, you know? So, unfortunately, you know, it doesn't say in parentheses, said in sarcastic, you know, tone.
Yeah, otherwise, I would have read it.
Of course, you would have read it with much more intonation than you did before. Now, as we said, saying that the sheep will be scattered without a shepherd is clearly hinting to what?
The death.
The death of?
The king.
Of the king. Okay. Pasuk Yud Ched is cool. You see, hello, Marti Alecha, Lo Yitnabeh Alei Tokim Ra. Clearly, I don't trust this guy. He always says bad. You know, like, there's never anything good, so I don't trust his Nevuah. Now, but Michiel says, look, I know that you would think, Achri Rabban Lahatos, 400 say you're good, and I'm saying no. I just want to tell you what happened here. And he tells him what happened in Shemayim. And how one angel said, I got this. God said, all right, run with it. Great idea. Here's the coolest part of this Gemara. Where we have the Pesukim here. The Gemara says, you know who that angel was? Navot, who had just been killed by Achav in the last Perek. He's the new kid on the block. He's up there. And God says, you know, I'm going to invite you to this meeting. I know you're new here, but I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to get back at Achav. And he goes, I have a great idea. And God says, you know what? I'm going to go with your idea. Isn't that a cool Gemara? Navot's that guy. All right, now what was the angel that came up with this idea? That's what Michiel is telling them. Look, this is what's going on. So Sidkiyahu accuses of Michiel being an Avi Sheker. So on the one hand, okay, Does Ahav believe? Who does Ahav believe? Who does he believe? Does he believe Sitkiyahu and the other 399? Does he believe Michayahu?
Probably Michayahu.
Well, it seems like both.
He says in Pasuk Chavov, he says, turn him over to the...
till I get back. Twitchy, then he throws back at him. Yeah, if you come back, you'll know I'm a Navi Shekhar. But you're not coming back. So, you know, I just want to know that when you don't come back, can I leave? So on the one hand, you would say that he didn't listen to Michayahu. Why? Because he went to battle. If he listened to Michayahu, he never would have gone to battle.
I think he wanted to prove him wrong.
Okay. Sort of like one of those, like, Rabina wants you to prove him wrong when he says, oh, you're going to get divorced three times and tell, I'll show you, I'm going to have a great marriage. He goes, okay, yeah, I lost, good. So, what's the... what is the proof that he does somewhat believe in Michayahu?
I feel like he's putting him in jail just so... like...
keep him for future reference?
He's putting him in jail and be like, you're not coming out of jail if I don't come back, so you better daven that I come back, otherwise you're stuck here.
Uh-huh. Okay, but he didn't say that. He said, you're not leaving, you know, till I come back, you're under house arrest. That's fine.
The proof is that he didn't believe him the first time, and he asked him to run it back. He's like, no.
That's Yoshafat. I'm asking Ahav. Ahav Melech Yisrael. Did he listen to Michayahu, yes or no? So on the one end, we would say, no, he went to battle. On the other end, he disguised himself. Why disguise it? Now, you got to be an idiot to be Yehoshaphat and say, oh, I'll wear my royal garb, but you're going disguised? Why? No reason. No reason. We just heard the Navi say they're only going to take out the shepherd, right? And Yehoshaphat saying, oh, okay, I'll wear my royal garb. And big crown, everyone see me in the purple robe, and you go looking like a foot soldier. I don't know why, like, Yehoshaphat's going with this, but yeah. I guess he's very tamim here.
Because either way, he would die not listening to him, the king, anyway.
Who would die?
Yehoshaphat, no?
He's gonna die?
No, I'm saying if he doesn't listen, the king's telling him, do what I tell you to do.
No, Yehoshaphat is a king. Ahav is a king, Yehoshaphat's a king. And Ahav asks him, will you join me? We join forces. And he says, okay, I'll join forces. So the question now is, okay, he believes him, he doesn't believe him. So on the one hand, he doesn't believe him because he's going to battle. On the other hand, he's going incognito. So clearly he's being a little bit cautious. Maybe he thinks, I don't know, Shinoi Beged is, you know, Shinoi Mazel.
If I were him, I would have sent my army and just stayed back. Yeah.
And do what?
Like hid, you know. I wouldn't have gone out.
I started saying this rape the last couple of times. Ahav might be a big Ovid of Avodah Zarah, but when it comes to caring about Klal Yisrael, he's not like that. He cares about Klal Yisrael. I think the best proof is he got mortally wounded, and instead of being evacuated to the hospital, he stayed propped up in the chariot so that people will be spurred on to victory. If they would see their leader go down, they would be demoralized. So he said, prop me up, so that the people see the king is still here and keep fighting. So that's impressive.
Right, yeah, but he's disguised.
They know
who he is.
They know.
He's still propped up, though. Right? That's what the plus it goes on to say. They kept him propped up.
The people weren't suspicious about him disguising?
That's a good question. I don't know. Now,
it says that... how did they know all it says is that Yoshua cried out and then...
So very cute. I mean, it might even be pshat, but I heard Rav Menashe Aviner said, doesn't mean I heard him cry out. Yoshua's a tzaddik. They're about to kill him. Why do Yoshua's scream out? Shema Yisrael! That can't be Ahav. They went the other way.
It says here that... It says in the bottom, the Mitsudo says, seeing that only the soldiers of the Yehuda came to Yehoshaphat's rescue,
so they
understood that this is not really Ahav.
Okay, could be. I like Rav Menashe Aviner's idea. It says cried out. It said, wrong guy. What?
Next.
Yeah. Now, Ahav gets his own ish mida keneged mida. We said before, he sinned by letting Ben-Hadad go free. And now, he dies at his hands. And it's interesting, though. Pasuk Lamed Aleph is strange. Melech Aram, what was the order that he gave? I just want the king dead. Kind of weird. order is that? Why would he do that?
Well, you cut the head off the snake.
Good. One answer could be, and this is what Mepharshim say, this is the strategy. You knock off the, you know, knock off the king, everyone runs around it's leaderless, like be very easy to kill them. That could be. You could say, you know, it's a very famous cynical phrase, no good deed goes unpunished. Here it is, Ahab went and saved him, and Ben-Hadad repays him and kills him. All right, how many times have we heard Ravina say, I do someone a favor, and I say, thank you very much, you don't kill me. You know, like I'm not expecting any payback, just don't kill me. So, I guess he saw it from here, right? Ben-Hadad goes and kills him. It's also interesting, a little Mida Keneged Mida, when the Navi came to rebuke Ahav, he came in disguise. Remember, he tells the guy, punch me, and he put the whole thing, and he says, like, he makes a whole story. Oh, I was asked to watch this guy, and then he ran away, and he tells him, oh, you're that guy. You decided to make the war personal. And now, guess what? He gets killed in disguise. There's lots of Mida Keneged Mida going on here. There are some of Pershing that want to say his intelligence, everyone's got spies everywhere, heard the Navi say that what's going to happen? The sheep are going to run around without a shepherd. So he said, oh, well, the Navi already predicted, let me take out the shepherd. So that's why his strategy was to take out Ahav. Also, Ahav killed through Eidut Sheker.
Yeah,
when did he kill through Eidut Sheker? Give me a second, just finish the idea.
Last
parak. How did he kill by Eidut Sheker? Was it Eidut Sheker?
That
Navot blasphemed against God and cursed out the king, and now he dies believing Nevuah Sheker. So, sort of what comes around goes around. Yes, what do you want to say?
The spies
goes around,
would have around, also right? Heard the other 400 Nevi'im.
Might have. You're right.
I want to have heard.
I'm just saying there's an idea that it's out there. Now, one parish actually says, I think it's actually even the Gemara, he was killed by friendly fire. Right, that an arrow, a straight arrow, was shot and smacked in between the shoulder blades, and you know. But many Mepharshim say that he was killed by Aram, and since it doesn't say in our perek who, and we've mentioned in the past, Chazal, you know, detest leaving, you know, a vacuum, so he's filling it in with names. Since later on we're going to have Naaman, Sar Tzava, come to Israel, so they say, oh, Naaman was the guy who killed him. Okay, again, you have a whole army, tens of thousands of people, need not have been, but Chazal attribute the stray arrow either to Yehoshaphat, because we know him, or Naaman, because we'll know him soon. This is just the way of Chazal giving names to anonymous people. In the pasuk, it's an anonymous person, right? Probably from Aram, possibly friendly fire. We know that people do die in war from friendly fire, but either way, I just find it interesting that, you know, you always have to try to give names. That's like our, that's our thing. Yeah. Yes.
Abraham.
That's what it says here. It quotes Perik Hay in Malchim Bet.
That's not man.
Yeah, it's not man.
Right. But I'm saying, but based on our Perik, some people say it's Yehoshaphat. Okay. Either way. So now let's get back to the original question. How could Yehoshaphat, the righteous, Tzaddik Yehoshaphat, why does he join with the wicked Ahav?
Maybe he sees an opportunity to unify their kingdoms.
Good.
Like that.
Yeah. Good. Look, first of all, you should know. Turn to Divrei Hayyam and Bet. Perek Yutet. Pasuk Bet. Page 1976. It was a good year.
Yehu, son of Hanani, the seer, came out to greet him, and he said to King Yehoshaphat, to aid the wicked, will you love those who hate Hashem? Because of this, fury from before Hashem is upon you.
So this is talking about Yehu gives him Musar for having joined with Ahav. Okay? So it doesn't say to Malachim, but in Divrei Yamim it does. Even if you will say, I agree with what you said, he had best of intentions, it still might not be okay. Not just now, but later, with Ahav's son. We'll get to it in Malachim Bet. Ahav's son, Yehoram, who was mentioned here on this parak, he as well will ask Yehoshaphat, will you join me? And he will use that exact same line, your horses are my horses are your horses, and my people are, but the exact same line. And he joins in. And he's rebuked again in Divrei Hayyamim, the next parak. Okay, you're still there? So turn to Perek Chaf, Lamed Zion, 2037.
Eliezer ben Dodava of Marisha prophesies about Yehoshaphat saying, because you have allied yourself with Ahaziah, Hashem has wrecked your undertaking. The ships broke down and did not succeed in going to Tarshish.
Okay. Now, I agree with what Avrami said. I think that he wanted to mend the rift. Like you asked, was there peace at this time? There was still two Malchiot, right? He wanted to mend the rift between Yehuda and Yisrael. It was very dangerous. And in his situation, it turned out really bad. How big were his mistakes? He married his son off to Ahab's daughter. Ahab's daughter is the second worst woman in Tanakh. His wife's the first, Izebel. His daughter, now it's not from the same wife, because otherwise everyone would have like harped upon that, and they don't, so it's got to be a different woman. Atalia. And we'll get to her. She's awful. Okay? And she...
I've heard people named Atalia before.
What?
You met someone named Atalia.
You met someone Atalia?
Well, the first
name is Izebel. Yeah, I had a student named Izebel. Told her to change her name. So, Atalia, we'll get to it. She kills out her whole family. Her own kids. Okay? We're not talking about a really good woman. And this destroys his family, threatens to destroy Malchus Beis David. Now, what happened? Now you said Ramot Kil'ad. What's going on here? It seems, as what some of the first ones say, that Ahab felt national pride. He was the first person who was promised land for peace. Right? Ben-Hadad said, all right, here's the deal. You will make peace, and I'll give you back Ramot Gilad that I conquered from you. And Ahab said, all right, deal, I won't kill you. Give me back. And guess what? He never gave it back. So now he says to Yehoshaphat, feeling nationalistic, this is Eretz Yisrael. Will you not join me and conquer the land back on behalf of Klal Yisrael? So Yehoshaphat said, I'm down. All right. So he does this. Now, why does Yehoshaphat join after the Nevuah? Could be it's just too late to back out. Right? Everyone's waiting. And to Ahab's credit, he goes, even though he's mortally wounded, sort of what we said about Shaul. Even after the Balat Ov said, you know, you're going to be dead, he still went to lead them in battle. And we said in the Farshim point, I think it was Radak, that that's Lishvach. He could have tried to run away. So here as well, Yehoshaphat goes, and Ahab goes, and because Am Yisrael needed it, and everyone was waiting for it. So he went as a concern for Klal Yisrael. Interesting question is, why didn't Ahab, if he's like worried, Yehoshaphat said, all these Nevi'im were Nevi'i Sheker, and Yehoshaphat says, I want a second opinion. So he said for Michayel. Why did he say for Eliyahu?
Maybe he was hoping that Michayel, he said, oh, I can't go to Michayel.
I agree with you. He told, you know, told his guy, go tell Michael what I want. He knows that Eliyahu would never play ball. Right? Also, he's probably scared of Eliyahu. Like, wow, I'm throwing him in jail. That's not working. So, like, okay, Michael, he's not on Eliyahu's level. Maybe I can intimidate him. I agree with you.
No, I was thinking that Yehoshaphat, why is Yehoshaphat go? You asked why...
Well, I said, why did he end up going in the end? I think he went in the end because the people were waiting, so he went, and Ahab was going, so he said, okay. Then I switched the question to why did Ahab not call for Eliyahu? I think what you said is true.
I didn't realize that Ahab called. I thought Yehoshaphat called him.
No, it was Ahab called him.
Yeah, I'll say that.
I just want to fill in a few more things about Yehoshaphat from Divrei Hayyamim. See, we don't. Often there's. Okay, who wrote Divrei Hayyamim?
Yirmiyahu.
No, Ezra.
That's
right. Yirmiyahu, when Chazal wrote Malachim. And Divrei Hayyamim deals primarily with Malchus Beit David. Okay, so we have more information there. So sometimes it pays. So in Malach, in Divrei Hayyamim Bet, Prakim Yutet and Chaf, we have a lot more information that we don't have here. So I just want to fill in some interesting things. We see he becomes the first king since Moshe Rabbeinu to set up a judicial system. A Sanhedrin Ktana in different cities, Sanhedrin Gadol in Yerushalayim. He himself went around the way Shmuel HaNavi did. He admonished his judges to rule according to the Torah. That's what the name Yehoshaphat means. Yud Hei Vav is like Shem Hashem. Shaphat, God is ruling. Rule according to the Torah. He had the utmost respect for the Chachamim. Gemara in Makos, I know you guys are at different points in Makos, says that Yehoshaphat was such a great king, he would run over and hug and kiss the rabbis, but only in private, because in public you have to have the persona of the king. But he had kavod for the Rabbanim. The Rambam uses Yehoshaphat twice as the example of the ideal king. Once in Sefer Malachim, and once in describing, like, Becheskas Melech HaMashiach. In Malachim, it's in Perek Bet Pasuk Hei. And then, towards the end of Sefer Malachim, he says, Becheskas Melech HaMashiach, and he describes Yehoshaphat. He says, V'im Yamod Melech Mibet David, Hogeb Torah, he's a Talmud scholar, V'osek B'mitzvah, K'David Aviv, K'fi Torah Shebechtav Torah Shebepeh, V'yichov Kol Yisrael Elechba, he gets people to follow in the ways, which we just said, that's what Yehoshaphat was doing. Ubat kabab yilachem al chamatoshim, fights the battle of Hashem. Harei zeh becheskas melech haMashiach. And we see that both he and his father Asa had a great military victory after calling out to Hashem. In Perek Yedalet of Devar Yomim, it talks about how they cried out to Hashem and they were saved. Okay, with Yehoshaphat, even more miraculous, Asa cried out to Hashem after pursuing the enemy, and he was victorious. Yehoshaphat, even without pursuing, he cried out, he sang to Hashem, and struck fear into the surrounding nations. The Midrash actually says, the Midrash in Parsha B'Shalach, which, very important Midrash, says there were four kings that were saved by Kadosh Baruch Hu. It says, David HaMelech pursued, fought, and sang to Hashem. Asa pursued, said, I don't have any strength to fight. He sang to Hashem, and he was saved. Yehoshaphat said, I don't have the strength to pursue or fight. I'm going to sing to Hashem. And Yechizkiyahu just went to sleep and Hashem saved him. And people today think Chizkiyahu is the better one. But it's not true. The Midrash is going out of its way to say it's going in order. Hashem wants us to act. Hashem wants us to join the IDF to fight. And then, Melchemet HaShechor say, I don't just say, wow, the army is great. We say, Halal Takarash Baruch Hu. Right? But we're supposed to do every single thing. Pursue, fight, and then be like David, and say, you know, Hodu Lashem Ki Tov. It's exactly what the Midrash was saying, and saying that Yehoshaphat was slightly lower than Asa, because he felt I couldn't do that. So that's what we have today. People say, I'm just going to sit and say Tehillim. Okay? But people actually join the army, even if their parents give them a hard time. So then they're on a higher level. Now, he tried, as Avrami said, to unite the nations with an alliance with Malchus Yehuda and Yisrael twice going into battle against Aram and against Moab, engaging in a shipping partnership before it was stopped. Now, he's a great king. And the truth is, there's a lot of comparisons between, after David and Shlomo, you don't have any other great father-son teams other than Asa and Yehoshaphat. Although it almost goes Tzadik Rasha, Tzadik Rasha, Tzadik Rasha. They're like the only father-son tandem that are good. And there's a lot comparing Asa with David and Sefer Malachim, and a lot that Yehoshaphat sounds a lot like Shlomo. We said before he has earlier in Divrei Yom. I said it was said before because it's like a shir on Divrei Yom, so I'm sorry. Messed up here. In Perek Zion, talks about the wealth that he had, the love of his Torah, a huge army, and all of his accomplishments in building. We even see Goyim bringing gifts to him the way that Goyim brought gifts to Shlomo. And now we deal with the judicial system, the way that we're introduced to Shlomo with the case of the two Zonot that came before him. That was an introduction to us as a king. And most importantly, there's lots of political intermarriages that led to each of them having a downfall. So, Yehoshaphat, the problem is that we never get this far in learning in high school, so we don't know anything about him. But he was amazing. Where was his problem? So the Baal Shem Tov has a beautiful idea. It's a pasuk in Devarim, Perek Hei, Pasuk Hei. Anochi Omei Ben Hashem Ubineichem. Literally, Moshe Rabbeinu was talking, and he says, I was the go-between between you and God. Okay, that's great. But the Baal Shem Tov says it's the Anochi, it's the ego that gets between you and God. Man's ego is what separates him from God. He was convinced the United Nations was the most important goal. Sounds very noble. But he went against the Navi of Hashem. And when, well, you know, he earlier fought with the Navi of Hashem, everything was good. So, and here he barely escapes. Yehoshaphat nearly got killed. So again, this is his problem. He thinks, I know better. Uniting Am Yisrael is a noble goal. And Navi said, don't do it. You know, in Pirkei Avot, okay, we have two Mishnayot. Pirkei Avot. One, Al Tifrosh Min HaTzibur. So that sounds like, okay, I should get involved. So what he did was right. On the other end, we have a Mishnah, Al Titchaber LaRasha. Don't attach yourself to a Rasha. So where do you draw the line? Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik once said a very interesting idea. He said there's a difference between, these words he used, friendship and fellowship. Okay? Here's his definition. Friendship is helping, guiding, comforting, encouraging. Yaflarecha kamocha. What's fellowship? He said that is an intimate relationship with deep concern, which includes playing, eating, drinking, celebrating together. Chazal discouraged fellowship with Goyim that leads to intermarriage. He went further and says even fellowship with irreligious Jews, because it'll bring you down. Friendship, okay. But fellowship, no. In the case of Yehoshaphat, the marriage with Malchus Yisrael, Yehoram to Ataliah, this is what caused the downfall. Yehoram, the son of Yehoshaphat HaTzadik, ends up getting killed, and Ataliah kills the entire family, and almost an end to Malchus Beis David. Why? Because he didn't stop at friendship. He went one step further. We became family. We're all one. And this is where sometimes you have to draw the line. How much? This is a question people get into in Kiruv. How far, you know, how much do you get into it? You know, where is it worthwhile? And you have to worry about your own religious observance. But this is Yehoshaphat, who is a tzaddik. We'll stop here.